This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Once again, it is absolutely fabulous to be able to spend this time with you guys in the morning. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast on your very favorite network for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com. You can also find us at redpillreports.com and on the dial at 90.7 in beautiful Denver, Colorado. Today's date is the fifth day of the fifth month. So yeah, May 5th, 2015. It is a Tuesday. And as a, you know, as a side note, might happen to be our 6 month anniversary today. Today might actually be the 6 month anniversary of our little bitty radio show here at Truth Frequency. And I cannot believe that we've made it this far, you guys. It's just, it boggles my mind. And, just cannot thank you guys enough for all the support. So many people hanging out in the chat room this morning. Kev Baker's in there, Nano Girl's in there, all my other normal favorite people, Bag, DP, Irish Pete's in there. Who's in there? James in there. Obsidian, One Stone Crow. I can't go through this whole list because you guys are starting to really pack this room in. But Prometheus is in there, PRC News, Smog, The Tav, always in there, Art Gloss in there. One name I cannot pronounce that starts with an F, but I appreciate all you guys being in there. Blue Bonnet Babe, Red Link. Man, so nice to see you guys this morning. Absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome. So anyway, we made it through Monday, guys. It is Tuesday now. Let's see, where are we at today? Unfortunately, Chris and Cherie are not going to be able to be with us in the second hour. Chris is really, really under the weather, guys. He has been battling a stomach bug for the last couple days, fever, the whole nine yards. So I'd rather have him fresh as a daisy when he comes to talk to you guys. So we let him off the hook. But luckily for us, We're 6 months into this at this point. We got some people who don't mind stepping up at the last minute to come onto the program. And so, Jim Ram is going to be joining us. Now, you guys might know Jim because he does a fantastic show here on Truth Frequency on Thursday mornings. Usually talking about health, and things like that, supplements, natural health. We're going to talk quite a bit about that today, but you also have to know that, Jim Ram has got an extensive law enforcement background. He was also in the Marines. So I think that, when we put our heads together today, between him and I and all of you guys out there hanging out in the chat room, I imagine that we can probably come up with some fairly pertinent questions. I'm definitely interested in some insight from him on what's going on with this Baltimore situation, whether or not he's starting to get the hairs on the back of his neck standing up when we start talking about this Jade Helm stuff. So, really appreciative of Jim Ram being able to step in for Chris, and we definitely want to make sure Chris is feeling better. So if you're out there, send some positive vibes over to Chris. I'm going to get this guy back on his feet. So that's what's going on today. Let's see. Tomorrow is the 6th day of May, which will be one day shy of the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Lusitania. Of course, we're going to have James Perloff on to come and speak about that because there's really nobody more qualified to look back at history and tell us which way we think the wind is going to blow in the future. And it's obviously a good time to be talking about false flags right now because I don't know about you guys, but I'm starting to feel like we are in, I was going to say knee deep into the false flag territory, but I think we're about elbow deep at this point, guys. There seems to be a lot of panic going on with the powers that shouldn't be, and you know, just have to wonder what the next move is going to be. I'm wondering about a big old EMP, some sort of EMP inspired economic collapse. I think that might have to do with this Jade Helm thing. But anyway, we'll talk to Jim about that. We'll talk to James Perloff tomorrow about the sinking of the Lusitania, so we can potentially learn a little bit about our history, so we do not repeat it. Kenneth Shorchin Jr. is going to be with us on Thursday. We'll be talking about economic issues. There's a lot of economic changes that are going on right now. Just off the top of my head, I know China is getting ready to slash their key interest rates again. Can you say quantitative easing heading to China? I think that's probably going to be happening soon. So anyway, lots more stuff to talk about on Thursday with Ken Shorchin Jr. And, of course, Sharon Lynn Wyeth will be joining us on Friday. One of our very favorite people, had an awesome response last time she was on. She's the lady who wrote that book, Know the Name, Know the Person. So we talk about phonetic spellings of names and how they can actually tell you quite a bit about somebody's personality. And for people out there expecting a child, maybe something you want to look at. You know, maybe don't name your or doom your kid with some awful name. Anyway, Sharon is a riot. Really can't wait to have her on the program again on Friday. And I know a lot of people out there had requested to have her back on the program. So hopefully you guys will all hear about this now and tune in then. So, okay, that's pretty much what we've got to talk about right now. Lots of stuff going on in the world. So let's just hop right in this morning on the international front. The Latvian National Armed Forces say they actually spotted two Russian military vessels and a Russian submarine near the Latvian border just yesterday. And the ships and the submarine were allegedly detected in the Latvian Exclusive Economic Zone, which is only about 8 kilometers from Latvia's border. If you're here in the United States and you don't know the metric system, a kilometer is about 17 feet. That's, I think, I don't know. Somebody may have to look that up and verify that. But the Latvian National Armed Forces say they recognized the vessels specifically. One was a Project 775 class landing ship, a Parsham class corvette, and a Project 877 Pulsal diesel electric submarine. And additionally, a heavily armed military transport aircraft, which was an Antonov An-22, was also detected flying near the frontier, according to the Latvian army. And earlier this year, similar reports have come out. Back in April, a Russian vessel and a submarine were allegedly spotted near Latvia's territory waters. And in March, Latvia said a Russian ship and two submarines had approached the country's naval border. Latvia says its National Armed Forces have actually detected so far this year just 42 Russian vessels. And in 2014, the Russian military ships and planes approached the Latvian border over 250 times. So are we still inching our way towards a Cold War right now? Is this Putin just trying to flex some muscle? Russia basically says that these are just drills and standard operating procedure. Although that economic exclusion zone, even though it's not considered international waters, it is a violation of some certain treaties. Maybe Russia's not privy to those treaties, but it is a violation of some international treaties to have war vehicles in those exclusion zones. So maybe Latvia is a little bit correct in being upset about this. Not really sure. Poland's president also signed a resolution approving the organization now of a joint Lithuanian-Polish-Ukrainian brigade. And they're, allegedly started doing this back in 2007, but it didn't actually come to fruition here until last year. When they do bring it to full operation, it's set, to constitute 4,500 servicemen, and they will operate separately from the three countries' respective militaries, but they will take part in NATO exercises and missions. So here we basically have a couple of countries that are, eking their way towards joining NATO, looking at Ukraine, and this is a way for NATO to kind of get their hands into, somebody's telling me in the chat that a kilometer is actually much farther than 17 feet. I missed that by a lot. Sorry. Anyway, they started talking about this back in 2007. When they get it running, it's going to be 4,500 troops. And again, where I was going with that was that this is obviously a goal of Ukraine to try and move themselves closer to NATO. And this is a way that they can get a NATO-controlled force operating on their soil with the blessing of some other EU nations. And kind of circumventing the whole soft membership to the EU by the Ukraine. So, and again, we've had stories recently about the United States providing weapons and equipment to Poland, ostensibly so they could come and bring those to Ukraine. And now we can see how that plan is coming to fruition here in front of us. Poland right now is the fifth strongest army in the EU and has actually got some pretty ambitious plans to modernize it, planning on spending about $36 billion, that's billion with a B, between now and 2022. So there you go. There's been a pretty startling report that has come out regarding the Gaza war that happened last year. And apparently this is This report is from a non-governmental organization called Breaking the Silence, which is actually an Israeli non-governmental organization, which is what made this report so startling. But they have come out pretty staunchly now saying that Israeli soldiers were actually ordered to fire at every person they saw during the Gaza war, while civilian areas were deliberately targeted, apparently with inaccurate weapons. Again, this is a report coming out of Israel from a non-governmental organization there in Israel called Breaking the Silence. It's run by former Israeli soldiers, and they actually spent 8 months after Operation Protective Edge ended interviewing more than 60 Israeli servicemen from the Army, Navy, and Air Force up to the rank of major. And the result, again, is a 237 relatively scathing report. Report tells a pretty different story than the official Israeli narrative that great care was taken to avoid civilian casualties. And critics of the Israeli tactics during the Gaza war say that the army and the IDF responded disproportionately to Hamas rocket attacks. And the testimonies gathered by Breaking the Silence include the acts of individual soldiers who shot civilians dead and of lethal decisions being made at the top of the Israeli military where other courses of actions could have been taken. The report also found that soldiers were briefed that any person in the combat zone should be considered an enemy, and the soldiers were told by their commanders to fire at every person they identified in the combat zone, since the working assumption from the IDF was that every person in the field was an enemy. One soldier even said that the rule of engagement was only given not to fire at IDF forces. That was the only rule of engagement that they had. Don't fire on your own forces. And another soldier said that they assumed that once the leaflets had been dropped on Gaza, warning of the imminent attacks, that the only people left in the region would be militants. Of course, when this war actually happened, they locked the border down so people could not leave. So you could see how this is a bad plan right from the get-go. And just to put it into perspective here, the Gaza Strip is actually one of the most densely populated areas on Earth. It's only 40 kilometers by 10 kilometers. Okay, so I guess a kilometer does have to be bigger than 17 feet. Anyway, it has a population of 1.8 million people. And during that Gaza war, again, beginning on July 8th, lasted for about 7 weeks, the crossing from Gaza into Israel and also into Egypt were closed. These people were basically held in a prison and then bombed from above by incredibly superior firearms. And then they obviously the IDF sent the soldiers in under the disillusion that anybody in that area was going to be a target. And so that's why we see what happened there. Anyway, moving away from that, tragic stuff. I really hope we can get this Gaza thing figured out. And again, I thought I offered a pretty good solution. We'd give them both an Iron Dome, reverse the polarity so nobody can shoot out and take away the keys for 100 years. Or we just move Israel to Nebraska. I think that would be the easiest solution. We wouldn't have to send them $8.5 million a day. There's a lot of Cornhusker fans out there that believe that Nebraska really is God's country, so you could have that argument. But again, there's nobody there that wants to bomb them. They could be totally safe. Let's just move them to Nebraska. Problem solved. Anyway, big time story coming out of Mexico right now regarding the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. We haven't really talked about that a whole lot. There were a lot of money changed hands after this happened. The company BP actually had been given a $17.6 billion fine, but that didn't actually include any compensation to individual fishermen. And it's kind of unusual because the fishermen in the United States actually received compensation, but no Mexicans did. So 25,000 Mexicans now teaming up to sue BP. And this is the first time that BP has been sued by someone outside of the United States. And so obviously these fishermen are going to be able to show pretty clearly that they have a loss of livelihood because of actions that BP either did or did not take. And I would imagine they'll be successful with that lawsuit. So there you go. Also, we've been having a lot of stories about the impending celebrations of the end of World War II that are supposed to take place in Moscow. And there's been a lot of rumor flying around whether or not Kim Jong-un and his new haircut would take the first opportunity to leave the country since his father died and since he took the helm over there. But it was announced yesterday that the head of the parliament of North Korea will actually be attending this Victory Day celebration in Moscow. So now we know for a fact Kim Jong-un and his haircut going to be staying home, not going to be going out on the heavily armored train that he apparently has, this secret super spy train that I was looking forward to seeing. But probably a smart move on his. I wouldn't want to go anyplace else. A lot of speculation, too, wondering if Moscow was going to be the first place he was going to go outside of the country. And some other people think probably China will end up being the first place that he goes. Who knows if he'll ever leave? I don't know. I think his haircut's running the show anyway. Let's get on to some world changes, Earth change news here. There was another... Well, let's see here. First of all, yesterday there was a 5.6 magnitude earthquake that struck New Zealand. This happened yesterday about 30 kilometers northwest of Wanaka on the south side of the island of New Zealand. And hundreds of people felt the tremors, and have obviously the local geological hazard service labeled this incident as severe. Weren't any immediate reports of damage. But again, 5.6 is fairly large. Also, yesterday evening, another strong 7.4 magnitude earthquake struck the southern coast of Papua New Guinea, and I believe there was an even heavier one earlier in the day. But again, 7.4 magnitude hitting the coast of Papua New Guinea last night, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. They did issue a tsunami warning for an area about 300 kilometers away from the epicenter, which did include the Australian coast, but that did not come to fruition, and we're all very glad about that. The quake was followed by a 5.9 about 10 minutes later, and then a couple of other aftershocks that were still above the 5.0 mark, so still a lot of shaking going on in Papua New Guinea. The KBS crew did an awesome job yesterday of talking about this volcano off the coast of Oregon. There has been a underwater volcano about 300 miles off the coast of Oregon. Just wanted to bring it up in case you missed KBS last night, and if you did, shame on you, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, this underwater volcano about 300 miles off the coast of Oregon has apparently awakened from its slumber. It's apparently now spewing out lava, and no immediate danger right now and no real threat of new islands being built, but still interesting stuff going on. A lot of earth changes happening right now, and you got to wonder why. Just got to wonder why. I don't know. Lots of stuff happening. Here we go, too. Got to give you guys some more criminal advice. We had that story yesterday, and I'm trying to do like this whole we're trying to come up with an entire list of things that can help would-be criminals out there not get arrested and things like that. And the big story we had yesterday was the moral from the story yesterday was that if you are wanted by the police in your community and your community has a Facebook page showing the pictures of the people wanted in the community, it's not a good idea to log into your Facebook account and go like that picture. That will get you in trouble. So just, there's some a little bit of advice. Here's some more advice. This gentleman, who is a 43-year-old guy from Hudson County in New Jersey, was actually being escorted out of jail yesterday when he got in a tussle with the guards who were escorting him from the jail, and he decided to punch both of them, and they took him back into jail. So moral for the story here, guys, is if you're that close, don't punch the guards who are letting you out. That's just stupid. So there you go. And that New Jersey man didn't heed that advice because I hadn't given it yet. So hopefully in the future he won't do anything else. Moving on to the national news here right now. We did obviously cover the story yesterday coming out of Garland, Texas, with this absolutely ridiculous dripping of false flag narrative style Charlie Hebdo shooting that took place in Garland. KBS, again, awesome job breaking this down yesterday. I don't think anybody in the world at this point believes that this was not a nurtured event. There's so many indications, but allegedly ISIS has now claimed responsibility for this attack. I'll tell you what, more criminal advice for you guys. If you're part of a criminal organization and you fail miserably in doing what it is that you're trying to accomplish, which I can only assume the situation in Garland would be chalked up as a failure at this point because those guys got out of the car and got shot, probably don't claim credit for it. Maybe that's just me, but I would want to know, I would want the impression to be out there that we weren't completely inept and that we were possibly not being, leashed around by the FBI. And that's obviously what happened in this particular situation. But just pointing it out that, the mainstream media is going to have you believe that ISIS, is the responsible party for this, and they're calling for more threats and they're coming for your Twitter account, ladies and gentlemen. So, or something like that. I don't know. Mainstream media boggles my mind these days, but they're telling you it was an ISIS attack. I don't believe that it was an ISIS attack any more than I believe that ISIS is even a real organization. I think it's about six really good graphic artists and a film crew. I think that constitutes most of ISIS these days. And most of that we pay for. So if it was a false flag, I mean, we're talking about like nine levels of nurtured event here right now. I don't even know where to go with that. Bad news coming out of the NYPD, the officer Brian Moore, who was shot in the face by the ex-con, he did pass away yesterday, died at Queens General Hospital 2 days after being shot. And obviously a tragic, tragic situation. But again, you know, this article, I love the fact that they just kind of start putting stuff into articles after the fact. But this one's got a little more detail, and I think it's important. So McCormick, who is the chief of police there, I'm sorry, he is the assistant district attorney, Peter McCormick, speaking on behalf of the NYPD. He said that Moore, the gentleman who just passed away, and his patrol partner, Eric Jansen, both were in plain clothes, and they were both in an unmarked, or they were in an unmarked police officer. They approached Blackwell, who was the shooter, in Queens after allegedly seeing him tugging at his waistband, right? So that's the name of the game here. So, oh, you're tugging at your waistband. So they approached the guy, startled him. They said, "What are you carrying?" And the officers ordered Blackwell to stop, and they exchanged words, and that's when Blackwell turned and shot him. So, you know, again, I'm not going to stand here and say that this guy, you know, deserved to die, or the gentleman was justified in shooting at the police. But when the other articles that I'm reading are telling me that they have a long history, the NYPD and this particular gentleman, meaning they know exactly who this guy is, he's still in the community, I've seen enough crime shows to know how they milk these guys and how they use leverage that they have against them to continue furthering their own career. And so I look at this situation like these two guys showed up plain clothes in an unmarked car. They weren't probably actually on duty at the time, in my opinion, if the guy is actually a uniformed officer. And so they approach this guy. Maybe this guy was just sick of it. Maybe that's what the culmination of all of this, you know, revenue generation by law enforcement and the failed war on drugs. Maybe this is the culmination of all that. So eventually you're going to find somebody who's a little mentally unstable who gets pissed off and tries to shoot you. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think that it's surprising. I don't like the fact that it happened, but I think given some of the conversations I've had in the Facebook world recently, it doesn't surprise me. So anyway, the bad story there is that the officer who was shot did pass away, and I'll pretty much leave it with that. KBS, man, I gotta say, I'm giving a lot of credit to KBS today, but that was a great show last night, and they broke down a lot of these events. There was a gunshot yesterday as well after our show near the city intersection where all the rioting was taking place in Baltimore. And this situation regarding this particular shooting makes zero sense to me at all. This allegedly, according to the police, a suspect was fleeing from the police. He pulled out a revolver, which allegedly he either dropped or it just happened to go off. And according to the officers, no police officers fired their weapons. Okay, so that actually conflicts with every report from every witness that was at the scene. No kidding. No one was injured, according to the police. But the incident didn't bring out a bunch of crowds, and people were, you know, upset. There were officers responding in riot gear, and at least one person was pepper sprayed. But the suspect's been arrested, and what bothers me is that there's pictures of his arrest where he is lying on a board with a neck brace on, and they're telling you that he didn't get shot. But KBS broke it down yesterday, and they actually played the Fox initial news report from a reporter who was on the scene reporting from a cell phone, and he was saying, yeah, I just watched this whole thing. They shot this guy. He may not die, but he doesn't look good. He's on a bodyboard. So if the officers, the law enforcement officers are saying no shots were fired and they didn't shoot back at this particular suspect, why are they loading him into an ambulance? Well, they say that it was out of an abundance of caution. That makes no sense at all. I'll tell you what, if I'm not injured, strapping me down to a board and throwing me into a box, taking me someplace that I don't know, not going to go that well for you. Just putting that out there. Really, really unusual situation in Baltimore. I don't really know where to go with that. Here's some okay news, I suppose. Hillary Rodham Clinton, as good of news can possibly be about her, she has now agreed to testify on Capitol Hill later this month about both the attacks in Benghazi and about her email practices. And her lawyer, David Kendall, wrote to lawmakers Monday, telling them that she would agree to the request from a special panel investigating the September 2012 attacks that killed four Americans there in Benghazi. But Kendall said Clinton would testify for only one session, and the committee chairman, Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, had requested that she actually appeared twice for a hearing on both, one for the private email issue and one separate session for Benghazi. But Kendall said Clinton will answer all questions remaining pertaining to either of those issues in one session, and it will not be necessary for her to appear twice. So at least we're going to get her on the stand to testify regarding Benghazi, and I'm hoping that Trey is going to be running the show here because I think he'll ask some pretty pertinent questions. So I will keep an eye on that, and I'll let you guys know as soon as we have a date for that, and hopefully it'll be on C-SPAN, and we'll get you guys a link because I really don't want that woman to be, she can't handle two cell phones, ladies and gentlemen, and she wants to run the country. I mean, really, put that into your mind for just a second. Cannot possibly handle the stress of having two cell phones, but wants a nation, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. Fantastic reporting coming out of our good friends Aaron and Mel over at TrueStream Media. They broke a story last night about Texas legislature and their attempt now to give Federal Reserve Guards arrest powers. Yeah, exactly. Private police of the Federal Reserve. House Bill 2346 would allegedly grant commissioned officers of the Federal Reserve some of the powers given to sworn peace officers, including the power of arrest, search, and seizure. Here's where it gets sticky. In matters taking place on Federal Reserve property, or even more broadly, in matters related to the Fed. Wow. Okay. And Mel and Aaron do a fantastic job pointing out that's obviously where the power here could go unchecked, and the extent of influence and business of the Fed in the nation's economy is far-reaching, if not all-encompassing indeed. So does that basically mean that they're going to have jurisdiction over anybody with a Federal Reserve note in their wallet? Because that's what it sounds like to me. And again, moving towards giving the police power that, they're not police. They're Federal Reserve officers, and they're commissioned officers. We do not need them with the power of arrest. Anyway, House Bill 2346 is the one that you want to get knocked down into the dirt if you're down there in California. We'll be paying attention to that. We've only got about 30 seconds left for this particular section. We're going to come back after this 3-minute break. I have a lot more news to cover. We've got a little bit of weird stuff. We have some economic news. There's actually some pretty significant health stuff today too. So really appreciate you guys hanging in there. If you guys are listening right now, you can hop into the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. We have 24 people in the chat room right now, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot believe all of you guys get up so early to hang out with me. It just does my heart so good. You have no idea how much I love you guys, really seriously. So we're going to go to this 3-minute break, and we come back. Lots more news to go through. We'll talk to you guys in just a second. Keep it right here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns
burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
We'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
Anarchy!
Flip Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the radio show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for hanging out through that 3-minute break. Really appreciate all of you guys hanging out in the chat room and everybody listening on the live feed right now. More than 1,000 people listening on the live feed. Absolutely amazing. Cannot thank you guys enough. I'd like to thank each one of you individually, but it would take the rest of the show. Appreciate all of you guys hanging out in the chat room as well. Let's get back into the national news here in the United States with a little bit more of your environmental stuff going on. Lake Mead, and for those of you guys who don't know Lake Mead, that's that big body of water on your left when you drive from Las Vegas across the Hoover Dam, and it's the largest reservoir in the country when it's full to capacity. It's fed by the Chicago River, or I'm sorry, the Colorado River, which provides water for agriculture, industry, and 40 million people in Nevada, Arizona, California, and Mexico. It does include Los Angeles, San Diego, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. And now after this 15 years of drought, the lake, which is basically now a mud puddle surrounded by a huge chalky bathtub ring, is threatening to actually run dry. And this is considered operationally full when the water is at about 1,229 feet above sea level. On the 2nd of May, the water level was down to 1,078 feet above sea level, the lowest since it was filled back in 1937. It's down 15 feet from the same day a year ago, and over the last 36 months, the water level has dropped 44.8 feet. So right now it is down 150 feet from capacity. If the water level gets below 1,075 feet, 4 feet below today's level, guys, by January of 2016, it will actually trigger a federal water emergency and water rationing. So the Las Vegas Review-Journal reported that forecasters expected the water level to drop to 1073 feet by June. So that's what that's where we're at. We're going to be below the level of a federal water emergency in Lake Mead by about June, and then Lake Powell would begin to release more water at that time, assuming average or better snow accumulations in the mountains that feed the Colorado River, but that's only actually happened 3 times in the last 15 years. So again, if the water level drops below 1050 feet, one of the two intake pipes for the Las Vegas Valley, which gets 90% of its water that way, will run dry. And a new nearly $1 billion tunnel system is being built by the Southern Nevada Water Authority to create a new drain to get the last drops out of the bathtub. They're thinking that will be ready by September. But again, this drought in California is still creating a lot of problems, and Lake Mead starting to suffer quite a bit as a result of that as well. Moving on to Tennessee right now, and a story from the Tennessee Valley Authority. As a side note, one of my very favorite songs in the world is a song called TVA about the Tennessee Valley Authority by a little band called the Drive-By Truckers. If you guys haven't heard them, I would stop everything you're doing, even listening to the show, and check them out because they freaking rock. Anyway, the president and the CEO of the Tennessee Valley Authority said there are some problems at Boone Dam, and they are going to be fixed. And the Boone Dam apparently will return to normal levels. But right now, they don't know how they're going to do that. Essentially, what's going on there is that last October, a large sinkhole formed in the parking lot near the Boone Dam Operations Center. And soon after that, sediment started seeping into the water just downstream from the dam. And that led TVA to dramatically lower the water and in the lake and stop power generation temporarily as it began to try and figure out what in the world was going on. But essentially, exactly what you would expect is going on. The sediment underneath the dam is starting to break up as the water pressure, continues to make a larger hole. You get more water pressure, which makes a bigger hole, which makes more water pressure, blah, blah, blah. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So anyway, they've done what they can to try and relieve the pressure by lowering the level of the dam. But they do not know exactly what they're going to do to fix this thing right now. So if you're downstream from Boone Dam there in Tennessee, something to be aware of. Also, something else to be aware of, if you're in Arkansas and you plan on going to Lake Bentonville anytime soon, just as a little heads up, they did pull a piranha out last week. Yeah, piranha pulled out, confirmed from the Arkansas Game and Wildlife Commission, pulled out of Lake Bentonville there in Arkansas. So, maybe not swimming so much right now. We have these rumors of them piranhas being let go here in the Lake of the Ozarks where I live too. And they've done some pretty significant scientific studies to figure out if near some of the springs that actually feed the lake that we live on, or live near, I should say, stay warm enough in the winter to support the breeding habits of piranhas. And, luckily they've come out and said yes. So good times. That's why I don't swim in the lake. Well, that and about 1,000 other reasons why I don't swim in the lake, because you can't see the bottom. And yeah, no, not me. Anyway, Florida news real quick. A large area of low pressure apparently will be moving into the Bahamas over the next couple of days. This has prompted the National Hurricane Center to issue a special tropical weather outlook. And as this low pressure moves slowly northward, it could begin gradually acquiring subtropical characteristics as early as Thursday or Friday. So if you're on the east coast of Florida, also the states that are north of that, just pay attention to this low pressure system that's coming up. And if you're not prepared for it, do please prepare for it. Just like the earthquakes, we've been talking quite a bit about all that. Good time to have a plan ready to go. Let's hop into the markets right now, figure out what's going on in the world, checking out the indices here. The Dow Jones currently down 100 points in early trading, 17,791. The S&P following suit, taking about a 1% dive, 2,091 there. The dollar index is on the decline again today. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at $95.12. Check out what the euro is doing. It is climbing just a touch. We're basically at 1.12 right now. We'll call it 1.12 here for the day. Bitcoin taking a little bit of a dive, 236.52. We'll get you a Bitcoin. Checking out the gold prices up today. Still not back to the $1,200 mark. We were at $1,194 with about $8 in gain today. Silver also gaining about 13 cents, so we're up $16.57 for an ounce of silver. And crude oil has come up more than 3% this morning as well, $60.83. So we'll figure out here, looking forward into the economy, if the oil glut is actually over or not. I do have a fairly startling story coming out of Australia, and the article was not written very well, so you'll have to kind of bear with me here. But essentially what's going on, Australia is going to be the very first country in the world to introduce a compulsory tax on savings, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, they're going to start taxing your savings accounts in Australia. And this new compulsory control is already provided for in the 2015 Australian budget, so that everyone who has any savings must pay taxes on their savings. And this measure is expected to serve as a global test balloon for Europe and North America, which will watch the outcome in Australia. And if there's not a lot of massive resistance in the Australian saving sphere, the rest of the world will probably go ahead and do this as well. So Tony Abbott, proven to be a substantial Marxist in this particular situation, he is taking the Australian people into the economic abyss from which only war and bloodshed can really emerge. This is really Atlas Shrugged in high gear. The Abbott government will introduce its draft budget for 2015 tax on savings, and it will also announced this measure before the formal decision on the budget. So if you're in Australia right now, I would start mounting some kind of campaign here, guys. This is a bad deal, and we certainly don't want to see this rolling out across the world. Just, you know what I mean? Just crazy town. So that's what's going on in Australia. The war on cash is continuing, ladies and gentlemen. Here's some news from China. The Beijing-based Economic Observer learned apparently from various sources that the People's Bank of China is very likely to further lower its benchmark lending and deposit interest rates by another 0.5%. So China's central bank last cut interest rates by 0.4% in November and then an additional 0.25% in March of 2015. And if these rates if the rates are cut as expected, the interest on the 5-year deposits will drop to 4.25%, while the rates on 5-year loans will be lowered to 5.25%. So there you go. That's what's going on in China right now. Still a lot going on in the old yuan field right now. I still think the SDR basket expansion is something that we all need to be keeping a pretty close eye on. Getting into the United States right now, apparently the U.S. Economic Confidence Index is down sharply, apparently, from last week. According to Gallup's U.S. Economic Confidence Index was -9 for this week ending May 3rd. It's the lowest weekly score since December, and this reflects a 6-point decline from the previous week and is the largest week-to-week drop since July. So again, the largest week-to-week drop since July in economic confidence here in the United States. Not really all that surprising, especially because the only real benefit anybody was reaping right now in the United States was low gas prices. And of course, we just had the article about gas prices are starting to head back up as oil goes back up. So there you go. Also, there is one great new number that's really high here in the United States, but it's not really a good one. The U.S. trade deficit in March swelled to the highest level in more than 6 years, propelled by a flood of imports that may have sapped the U.S. economy of any growth in the first quarter. We had that story about the GDP being a dismal 0.1%, which really isn't that accurate because if you take out some other key indicators, it was actually at about -2.5%. Also, this has a lot to do with the strength of the dollar right now and the fact that it's a lot easier to import goods. And because of that, our trade deficit now, 6-year high, $51.4 billion trade deficit just in the month of March alone. So good times. Happy to be part of this team. I wish I was on this other team. Right now, the really wealthy people in the world, the ultra wealthy, are buying into the ultra luxury housing market. And that ultra luxury housing market is actually scaling new heights as a record number of properties around the world command prices topping more than $100 million. And the reason people are doing this is because it's better than gold, because you can brag about it. That's what the global elite are saying about these crazy high real estate purchases that are going on right now. So I guess, you know, hey, happy days are here for some people, just not all of us, I guess. Speaking of all of us, McDonald's. Man, we've been talking about McDonald's quite a bit. One thing that they came out with yesterday, and I laughed when I read this. One of the things that they're attempting to try and do now is delivery. Delivery service. That's going to be their answer. So yeah, they're toying around with delivery service in New York. Cannot even imagine having somebody from McDonald's bring me garbage to my home. It seems really counterproductive. But also, as a side note, McDonald's workers right now, they're still pretty upset, and they plan on gate crashing the burger company's shareholders meeting later this month with the biggest ever protest demanding an end to poverty wages paid to many of its 420,000 staff members. And as the company announces these plans to turn around its ailing business, Fight for 15, which is the union-backed protest group, set out plans for a day of protest at the company's Chicago headquarters. They say they are fed up with pay that drives them to rely on public assistance to support their families and angry over the publicity stunt disguised as a wage increase that McDonald's tried to pull earlier this year. McDonald's workers right now will insist that the fast food giant include in its turnaround plan a serious investment in the cooks, the cashiers, and the other people who make billions of profits possible for the organization. I fully 1,000% support this. The bottom line, guys, is that your time, talent, and energy is being used to float the fiat currency. And then so your currency that you're holding in your wallet, these Federal Reserve notes, they actually do have value. They're based on your time, talent, and energy. And the problem that I have is that when those people who have usurped your time, talent, and energy to fund their little pro-profit company, or they call it a government, but it's not, then those same people turn around and tell you what your time, talent, and energy is worth in those same notes. And that to me is like the Mobius strip of Ponzi schemes. So I think that all of these people should be paid more. If you ask American people, just your standard American person on the streets, what the correct ratio is between the lowest paid employee and a CEO, most people think 7%, 7, 8, 9%. That's going to be the distance, you know, the multiplication table that you would have between the lowest paid worker and the CEO. But that's not the way it is in the United States. That's the way it was in the United States back in the 50s, and it made sense. Everybody earned a living wage. You can't work at McDonald's 7 days a week and plan for a future. You can barely feed yourself, especially if you're eating McDonald's. You're getting your health to suffer. I mean, it's just crazy. But what I was saying before I sidetracked myself here was that these people should be paid more. There's right now in the United States, it's, I think, 336 to 1. That's what the CEO makes of most of these organizations versus what you guys make if you're running the cash register. Do they really put that much more effort into their job? Is it that much more stressful? 360 times more stressful? That's crazy. You know, obviously the businesses are going to come back and they're going to start replacing these cashiers with machines. And I guess that's probably, you know, probably some of the fight that we're going to have to go down. But I just don't know. I'm a big proponent of raising the wages that people get so that they can actually live and prepare for a future. We have 28 in the chat room right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is a high watermark for the radio broadcast. It is our 6-month anniversary. I cannot thank you guys enough. You guys are making me feel just ridiculously awesome. I don't even know what to say other than please support these people who are trying to get a living wage. You got to understand that these companies are making billions in profits at the expense of others. It's just stupid. So I fully support them. It's like that company in Seattle where the guy basically cut his whole salary and is raising the salary of all his employees to $70,000 a year. You know what that's going to do? That's going to drive people to not leave his business, guys. That's how that's going to work. People are not going to want to quit, and other people are going to want to go work for him, and the work quality is going to go way, way up. We have 30 in the chat room right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm beside myself. Don't even know what to say. I love all of you guys with all of my heart. Just absolutely crazy awesome. Awesome. Okay. Let's get into some science and tech stuff because I found this article to be pretty darn amazing, ladies and gentlemen. An international team of researchers have fully sequenced the nearly complete genome of two Siberian woolly mammoths. This has revealed the most complete genetic picture of these animals to date, and it also includes new information about the species' evolutionary history and the conditions that led to its mass extinction at the end of the last ice age. But the really amazing part of this is that they now have the complete genome, and these guys are really, honestly, this is not just conjecture, they are thinking about reproducing woolly mammoths. And I gotta say, I'm fully in support of that because I don't think a woolly mammoth can run 40 miles an hour like a velociraptor. So if we're staying away from the velociraptor stuff and doing something big and fuzzy and potentially nice and cool like a woolly mammoth, I'm fully in support of that. But that's cool to me. So that's what's going on. Anyway, the director of the Ancient DNA Center at McMaster University and the researcher at the Institute for Infectious Disease Control, who is the senior Canadian scientist on the project, say that with a complete genome of this kind of data, we can now begin to understand what made a mammoth a mammoth. And they're going to try and compare it to an elephant and figure out some of the underlying differences. I don't know. I like stuff like that. I think that is super duper cool. So maybe potentially we can have woolly mammoths. I wish they would miniaturize them. Don't you think? Well, how great would that be to have a pet woolly mammoth that was small, like the size of a dog? Or I remember my buddy saw there was a commercial that was on TV a couple of years ago that had a little miniature giraffe in it. And my buddy swore up and down on a stack of Bibles that they were real and that he wanted one and was trying to find out a way to get one of those miniature giraffes. I totally agree. A miniature giraffe would be freaking awesome. Ah, truth be told, one of my favorite guys in the chat coming through with a BDI number today. I forgot to hit that in the economic stuff. Sorry about that, guys. BDI down right now 7 points today, 580. That's what's going on with the international shipping market. Also, some other really neat tech stuff that's going on. If you're a non-magical being, you might think that your chances of becoming invisible are probably not very good, but don't jump to that conclusion just yet, because researchers are now claiming to have developed a portable system that will make small objects like your keys or your pet owl disappear from sight. And the key to this real-life invisibility lies in clever optical tricks that bend light around an object, shielding it from detection. And the principle, such technology has actually only been demonstrated for very, very small objects. But now a group of researchers from the Karl Schrew Institute of Technology say they have developed a scaled-up system that could be ported around and used for classroom demonstrations. Usually the problem is trying to figure out how to speed up and slow light down as it is traveling around whatever object you're trying to mask so that all of the light hits the other side and the user's eye at the same time. They figured out some way to do that. They basically take an object, put it inside of a hollow metal cylinder coated with acrylic paint, which diffuses the light. And then that metal tube is embedded inside a light scattering PDMS block. I don't know what that is. So basically the time it takes the light to travel through the block is just the right proportion of time that it takes light to travel through the cloak. And so the cloak then becomes invisible, or at least the researchers are saying that right now. First actual demonstration won't be until the 13th of May. I'll keep you guys up to date and see if I can find a video to post to the website. Now, of course, this is a far cry from some sort of invisibility cloak that you can actually wear unless you want to walk around inside of a giant metal tube inside of a big block of silicon. But the proof of concept one day will obviously lead to more sophisticated materials that possibly will be wearable. And in the meantime, having a device like this that you can make your friend's cell phone device disappear, well, that seems like that's the start of some pretty good pranks going forward in the future. So that's what's going on in that crazy tech world right now. What else is happening right here? I gotta say, there is a great article at redpillreports.com under the show section today, titled The Ultimate Guide to Staying Anonymous and Protecting Your Privacy Online. I won't go through this entire article right now, but there is a lot of good information in it. It will get you right into Tor. It will teach you how to use Tor, which is the Onion router, which is basically a virtual network of routers that exist on the internet, will hide your traffic, things like that. There's a lot of other things that you need to know before you just dive in and start using Tor. But it could also, this article will walk you through virtual private networks outside of Tor. You can also do some DNS leak tests. You can find out if your DNS traffic is actually giving away your IP and things like that. Also, a good premise on virtual machines, which if you're into Linux, it can be nice to try and run a virtual machine on your computer so you can experiment with things like Ubuntu without having to take your Windows or your Mac and, you know, destroy them. You can use it in other ways. Anyway, great article, totally worth looking at in that respect, and I would go check that out at redpillreport.com if you're interested in doing stuff like that, keeping your identity private online. Let's move into some health news here really quickly. Ebola. We are not out of the woods on this Ebola thing yet. Ebola, apparently now there's a new report coming from Natural Health saying that it could be sexually transmitted as many as 6 months or more after a patient has fully recovered from the disease. And this is backed up by the World Health Organization and the U.S. Center for Disease Control. They are now warning, based on this recent finding, that Ebola could again become or be sexually transmitted as much as 6 months after. So until further notice, the agencies are saying that Ebola survivors should make sure they are using safer sex practices such as those effective at protecting against the transmission of HIV. So anyway, these new recommendations were spurred on by a case of a Liberian woman who has recently become sick and died of Ebola. This is the first new case of Ebola in that country in the last 3 weeks, and she had not been in contact with anyone with Ebola, patients or bodies, or anyone who had died from the disease. So it was later discovered, however, that her boyfriend was an Ebola survivor. She had been in contact with him after his blood tested free of the deadly virus 6 months ago, back in September. So the man agreed to provide semen samples, which did test positive for traces of Ebola. And previous to this disclosure, no genetic traces of Ebola had ever been found in semen more than 101 days after a negative blood test. So again, this is a new piece of information, just letting you know that this Ebola situation in Liberia is not over. And if you're listening from that neck of the woods, please do be careful. Want to say too, there's a really neat new program that's been set up by an organization called Feed the World. What they're trying to do essentially is prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that Monsanto is affecting each and every single one of us. And maybe, you guys might be interested in actually testing yourself, but, up until now, it's been really expensive to go and have yourself tested for glyphosate. But now in an unprecedented move, really, this nonprofit organization has set up an independent lab that all people can access in order to test for glyphosate. So this Feed the World, again, has set up the first ever validated glyphosate testing facility for the general public worldwide, and it will be provided in the United States with support of the Organic Consumers Association. And there's no better way to prove that glyphosate is harming the entire population than to confirm that most of us have traces of it in our urine, our breast milk, and in our tap water. And the cost of testing for each of these is much less than what many people would pay for a doctor visit or a lab visit where they would have to, draw blood. And the beauty of this particular situation is you don't even have to draw blood to be involved. So really what we're trying to do is prove that despite Monsanto coming out and saying that glyphosate is totally safe, we do have the new indication that the World Health Organization says that glyphosate is most likely carcinogenic. And so if they can prove by offering this as a solution for people to get tested, if they can prove that there is a large majority of people out there that are being affected by glyphosate, that will be easy to mount a campaign against Monsanto. And you have to remember, 20% of Monsanto's revenue is glyphosate. And you also have to remember that most of their other revenue is because they make those Roundup Ready seeds. So if you ban glyphosate, I mean, if we actually nail this thing to the wall, Monsanto is going to take a beating. Yeah, they're going to be taken to the woodshed on this one. So if you want to go to Feed the World, let me check the website here and make sure I have it. If it's an org or it is an info, feedtheworld.info/glyphosate testing, test yourself. But if you just go to feedtheworld.info, you'll be able to find this. And then right at the top of the page is this take the test glyphosate, and you can find out how to get involved with that. I really recommend doing that. I think that we gotta, if you can prove causal harm to the population via Monsanto, this is a great thing. We can get a major campaign together and drive them away. Let's see, what else do we want to talk about? Oh, good news out of Puerto Rico right now. Puerto Rico, the governor of Puerto Rico signed an executive order yesterday to allow marijuana to be permitted for medical uses. So, again, let's see, it's going to become immediately into effect. And let's see here, just want to get sure I get the right pertinent bits of the story here. So the Puerto Rico Health Ministry said that they're now going to have 3 months to file a report about how the executive order is going to be implemented. The order will also mean that some or all of the controlled substances that derive from the cannabis plant will be permitted for medical use. It's not clear at present which types of illnesses will receive authorization for the medical marijuana, and it is also unknown whether the drug will have to be imported or whether the residents will be allowed to grow it on the island. But this is a pretty big shift. Up until recently, the possession of any amount of cannabis in Puerto Rico was illegal and punishable with up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $5,000. So advocate of the reform argue that this current policy has proved ineffective in the fight against illegal drug trade on the island. And I think most people would probably agree with that. As another side note, three different states inside of Australia now working their way through a trial with medical marijuana as well. They're using it to see if they can treat drug-resistant epilepsy, relieve chronic pain, and all of the other things that we already all know that cannabis can do. So good news there coming out of Australia from the health standpoint. Still have a lot of work to do there in Australia with the big, massive anti-vaccination routine that's going on. But, one step forward, two steps back, I suppose. Okay, we got to go to this three-minute break. Holy cow, still 31 in the 32 in the chat room. Love you guys. We're going to be right back with Jim Ram. Do not go anywhere. This is going to be a show you do not want to miss. Keep it right here, guys. Keep it right here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as a sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Real people. Real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys hanging out in the chat room right now. Jim, I got to tell you, we got 28 in the chat right now. I'm completely overwhelmed. We actually had 33 earlier today. Today, Jim, you may not know, is our 6-month anniversary here on the air. And this is a major high watermark for us, having all these folks in the chat room. And I really just want to give a quick shout out to all of them, telling them how much I love all of those guys. And speaking of love, I got to tell you, Jim, you're one of our very favorite people here at Red Pill Reports. You really are, man. Your ability to talk about things on your program is second to none. I'm really starting to become an absolute fan. For those of you guys out who don't know, Jim does a show, Your DIY Health, on here on Truth Frequency on Thursday mornings. Absolutely amazing stuff. And, but it's not just natural health that's your expertise. I mean, you grew up a very active lifestyle, grew up in the Midwest, kind of like I did, have an extensive law enforcement background, also were a Marine. So you have a very diverse, skill set that you can bring to bear on a lot of different topics other than just your involvement with longevity, which we've all, talked about quite a bit on the air as well. And I gotta tell you, some of the products that I've been getting from longevity, I think are starting to change my life, but that's kind of the name of the game here right now, is we are attempting to do life-changing over the radio, ladies and gentlemen. And so for that, we are very privileged to be welcoming the one and only Jim Ram back to the program today. And Jim, I really want to thank you for taking some time out of your schedule, especially at the last minute, to join us here on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Thank you much for being here today, sir.
It's my distinct honor and pleasure, JD. I'm happy to be here, and I definitely appreciate the opportunity. And by the way, happy anniversary. You deserve it. It's an awesome show. I'm running around a lot, but when I can, I sit and listen because I always learn something. Oh, I truly appreciate you.
It's not me, man. It's the forum. It's the greatest listeners in the world, and it's the greatest guests in the world. And to be honest, I couldn't possibly do this without Robert and Jeff behind the scenes. Those guys do so much work bringing the correct guests to the program, you know, that are relevant in time to hear them. Had an amazing spokesperson on yesterday. I don't know if you got to hear Dale Brown on, but just absolutely amazing stuff. And Jeff and Robert really get all the credit. I'm just the guy with the microphone. I really don't do all that much. But here's where I would like to start today, Jim, because again, extensive law enforcement background and you were a Marine. And so I'm going to start in some touchy stuff today, and I really kind of want to know what you think about this. I got in a fight on Facebook yesterday, Jim, and I'm not proud to admit that. I am apparently 12 years old, but I did get in a fight on Facebook. And I got in a fight with a good friend of mine, a friend that I've known since high school. He was also a Marine. And what set me off was he posted this article, and in this article was a picture of a person standing on a flag. And he said, basically, in no uncertain terms, I'm a Marine, and if I see somebody standing on the plan or on the flag, I'm going to beat their butt, basically, is what he said. And I just said, okay, you know, I understand you guys are very sensitive about the flag, and I get that. But we started kind of going back and forth, and he said, listen, I took an oath to defend that flag, and that's the bottom line. And I said, well, you really didn't. You took an oath to defend my right to burn that flag, regardless of whether or not you believe in that or not. Because what he's saying is that his belief or his feeling about that flag somehow trumps my right to use it as a form of self-expression. And I'm not going to come on the radio and say I advocate going out and burning the flag. But I do believe if you understand liberty and you understand the Constitution, that I have the right to go down to Walmart and buy a flag and a houseplant and a box of Hot Pockets and come home, put it in my front yard and light it up and call it an art project if I want to. That's my right as an American. And when somebody else says that, that because of that, they have the right to assault me, that makes me wonder, and I think, well, is that really what your oath is about? And if it is, perhaps you need to go back and read your oath. But I'm wondering, from your standpoint as a Marine, am I crazy in my thoughts on this, Jim?
Well, you know, it's interesting that kind of a situation, and I've seen these things, and it, as a Marine, it brings out the, you know, the gut reaction.
Uh-huh.
The first reaction is to stomp a mud hole in that dude.
Right. Okay.
okay. And I'll be first to admit that. But the thing is, and this is where, unfortunately, you know, Marines are no different from anyone else. They come from the same imperfect society that we do and the same dumbed down society that everyone else does.
Uh-huh.
And we are, you know, so many of us, especially the circles that military personnel in general travel in, when someone tramples a flag, I mean, you might as well stepped on your mama, you know?
It's
one of those things that it's extremely important. People die defending the flag. And to see someone in this country especially, it's one thing if they're doing it overseas, but if they're inside the confines of the United States and they're doing that kind of thing, it brings out a reaction in people, which I fully understand. But at the same time, I'm reminded of the words of Patrick Henry, who said, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
Exactly.
And that's the complete difference between the United States and every other country in the world. We have a constitution. I mean, they put the First Amendment first for a reason. And basically, people have the right to do these things. And, you know, at the same time, you know, they have to realize, even though, you know, with rights come responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
And they have to realize if they're doing that within the confines of the country, they may very well have this kind of thing happen to them. I'm not saying it's right, but it's a real situation. I agree with you in this standpoint that, you know, the Marine's oath is not to the flag. It is to the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
And first and foremost, the Bill of Rights is a part of that Constitution, an integral, if not the most important part. And unfortunately, as distasteful as it may seem, we have the, you know, people have the right to protect, or not protect, but do the things that they feel are, is the right thing to do, as stupid as it may seem.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, you know, one of the things that I get it really bothers me is when we talk about people that come from this country, you know, foreigners who on this land or anywhere else, and they say, well, they don't have the constitutional rights. First off, there's no such thing as a constitutional right. There
Thank
is a
you.
Constitutional guaranteed right.
Yes.
You know, the Constitution does not confer any rights to anyone. It simply guarantees the rights that we receive from God Almighty.
That's right.
And it makes no difference where you are on this planet. Every single person on the planet has the same rights. They may not be recognized in certain places, but they have those rights.
That's right.
And to say that, to try and deny constitutional protections because they are a supposedly, you know, an alleged war criminal or some other kind of thing, that, you know, that's where we step out of reality and common sense and into the emotional status of someone attacking us.
Yes.
And that's a very key thing that, and again, it's a difficult thing to deal with because, I mean, it goes to the very gut, reactions and emotional ties to our country.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would feel kind of, not so much sad that, you know, if that kind of thing was to happen and people didn't have that reaction, but at the same time, it's the kind of thing where they want to charge up and stomp that dude and then stop at the last minute and say, wait, as much as I don't like it, he has a right to do that. And, you know, that's kind of the angle I look at it from.
That's kind of where I came from too. To me, I mean, the most important thing about what you just said was, again, trying to get us back to this foundation that the rights that are codified in our founding documents, they don't grant us those rights. Those rights are inherent and come from God. And that's my big thing these days, is I'm so sick of the United States or these people that come out and say, well, we need to be spreading democracy and blah, blah, blah. It's like, we don't want to spread democracy. We need to be
right.
Spreading liberty. You know, that's the concept that's been lost these days. And that's the thing that's being stripped away from us. I mean, just eroded every second. We seem to like not even have a concept of what it actually means to have divine rights. And I just, to me, it was just so emotional because I've got somebody here who I know went in, did the Marine thing, thought he was doing the right thing, and really believes that he did a service to the country, but at the same time was just so emotionally responsive to this particular issue. I thought, man, I just really would have hoped that after being in the Marines for that long, you would have developed a little bit more maturity about this and understand that, you know, just like you, the quote you just said, you know, I may not agree with everything that you're saying, but I will fight to the death to make sure that you're able to say it, because that is what liberty is about. And if you believe in the country really as it should be, then that's got to be the driving force. And to me, there's just not a gray area with liberty, Jim.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to be ready to hold on to your emotions and try and use a little common sense and try and reason with the person. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, a lot of these people, if they're crazy enough to do those kind of things, number one, they're trying to elicit that kind of a response.
Exactly.
Because they're looking for publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they're more than likely people that hate this country and shouldn't have been brought, allowed in the first place. And that's something that has to be questioned. There are more than one way to deal with somebody like that. The trouble is when you have a criminal government that's allowing our borders to be like a sieve instead of an iron gate, you know, we're letting people in that should not be allowed in, and we're throwing people out that literally should be allowed to stay. And I mean, it's a typical, it's biblical, you know, evil is good, good is evil, black is white is black, everything is backwards.
Right.
And we're in a situation now where because of that, we're starting to reap the reward, so to speak, or we're starting to reap what we sowed. And, it's just, It's a sad situation, but it's our own fault. You know, it's another thing has been said, you get the government you deserve, and we've sat on our butt and been complacent for so long that we have allowed this stuff to take place, and it's our own fault.
Uh-huh.
And, we need to sit up and take notice and realize that we've got to do something and quit worrying about which game is on and whether the beer is cold and the pizza's hot. And get our act together and pay attention to the things that, you know, that really apply to life, as opposed to being suckered in by the bread and games, you know, just like they've done over the centuries. They're doing it here.
That's right.
And people get, you know, more worried about whose team is winning, and they're willing to get in great, you know, barroom brawls over that kind of stuff. But at the same time, when you have a so-called, an alleged president stand up and do the things that he's been doing for the last 6 years, and nobody seems to worry about it or care, that's a whole different story. And it turns my stomach, unfortunately. It makes me almost to the point where I'm ashamed to be an American.
right? Well, you don't want to say that, though, because really...
Almost.
Almost. That's the key word there, because fundamentally, there's nothing wrong with America, really. The law system still works well if you understand it. The political system could probably work well if we could usurp the corporation that seems to have taken over the actual
right.
government. And that's, I think, you know, coming back to the point about the flag, you made a really good point with the fact that when these demonstrations are done with it, it's always about publicity. You know, nobody's sitting around in their basement, in their underwear, burning a flag, making a statement to themselves. You know,
right.
it is to go out and elicit some sort of reaction. So I think my recommendation for instead of going out and burning a flag, and I'm curious about what you would think about this. What do you think about hanging the flag upside down as and leaving it intact, obviously, but demonstrating that upside down? Is that going to have the same, you know, guttural response from a Marine or any of the armed force members, you think?
Actually, I used to hang mine upside down.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for quite some time. And actually, one day I came home from church and there was a note on my door that the little girl from next door left. She was very upset that I was hanging the flag upside down.
Right.
But that is an international symbol of distress.
That's right.
And if this country isn't in distress, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
You know? I can remember when I was on the job one day, I was driving around and I happened to notice, you know, a flag upside down on a pole in the area I was patrolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped and called in and called for backup and slowly approached the place just to make sure that there wasn't some kind of a hostage situation or something else going on in the house. And somebody had just been in a hurry. They went up and put up the flag and didn't realize they
right.
it up upside down. But, you know, I thought, well, maybe this guy was, you know, somebody's being held hostage and he went out and accidentally or on purpose put the flag upside down. Hopefully someone would notice.
Hmm.
And I caught it and went in and checked on things. But luckily it was not a bad situation. But, it, you know, that's the kind of thing that as a cop I used to watch for.
Boy, that's interesting that elicited that kind of response with you, though.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I can't think of how many other guys on my department had driven by that flag that day the same time, you know, over the hours before I got there.
Hmm.
But I would bet that at least one or two also had and probably hadn't even paid any attention to it.
Right.
But I'm a stickler for detail. I'm a photographer, you know, from years back by, and my eye is very important, and I look at all the stuff that's going on and look at details, and I mean that's what a cop is supposed to do. But so many of them just get complacent and wrapped up in things and don't pay attention. But yeah, it's one of those things that the flying the flag upside down is a symbol of distress, and I know a lot of people, either now or in the past, who have done so. And you know, I stopped doing it just because I didn't want to be a stumbling block for the young lady. I tried to explain to her what was going on.
Uh-huh.
She was old enough to want to love the flag, but young enough to not understand everything that was going on in the country. So I kind of backed off and didn't want to push the issue on her and that kind of thing. But,
right.
You know, I was trying to be a good neighbor at the same time. But
it's easy to ruin somebody if you get
too
young, I guess.
Yeah, I freaked this little girl out. So I tried to talk to her and explain what was going on. I think she understood it after a while. But, mm-hmm. you know, rather than, you know, cause problems, that kind of thing, I went back to flying it normally.
I gotta be honest, I was a biker, kind of am a biker still, mm-hmm. you know, I wear a vest and I've got patches and things on it, and one of my patches is the American flag, and it is absolutely upside down, and it's been sewn on there for 4 or 5 years, and one of the things I've noticed is that I will get, especially like military people will come up to me and they'll say, what does that flag mean? And I'll say, well, it's an international symbol of distress, and they'll say, okay, you're right. And that's usually the end of the conversation. But then we end up having a great conversation about what's actually going on in the country, and you can wake people up that way.
Right.
So to me, you know, getting away from the flag burning and maybe demonstrating with a little bit of logic, you know, hanging it upside down so people actually understand that there's an issue there would be a better angle. So I think you hit the nail on the head that if there was ever a country in distress, that this one is it. So.
Yeah. I like the idea there about putting it upside down on your clothes like that, because it does, rather than the burning aspect that elicits, you know, a violent response right off the bat in many
mm-hmm.
cases, this, you know, this way it gives you the opportunity of dialogue.
That's right.
And to rather than, you know, because I'm sure he was looking to say, well, I hate this country, you know, and then the fight would have been on if you'd have said something like that. But when you explain to him that, yeah, it's an international distress symbol, this country's in bad shape, you know, only an idiot would not realize that you were right.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've made some of the best Facebook friends that way in my little biker group, because I will meet somebody and they'll say, wow, you're actually pretty intelligent about what's going on, and I'd like to know you in the future. So that's another way to grow your community out there, is you put a symbol like that outside and other people are going to be drawn to it that either want to know about it or already do know about it. And there you just found your click for your neighborhood, too. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Another thing that we all have to be doing is trying to take back our own communities. You know, because that's, again, we talk about that all the time on the show, is you take over your heart and then your family and then your community. And by the time we get all that done, we'll have a whole nation of, you know, effective communities. So hopefully that's where we're going to go with all of this. Jim, I want to change gears a little bit. One of my good friends asked me to ask you about some stories, or potentially a story when you were working with the NRA. Do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Well, there's a lot of them. I was on the board of directors for 6 years.
Wow.
And, it's one of 75 people that are supposed to run the organization.
Okay.
They have, over the years, it's pretty much been relegated to a figurehead kind of position. But, you know, when I first got elected, you know, we still had some authority. And, but I'm not sure exactly which. You know, there's a lot of different stories out there.
Give us one of the good ones. What's the craziest thing that happened when you were working with the NRA?
All righty. This one will probably freak out some people. When Charlton Heston was elected to the board, everybody thought that was a wonderful thing. And I'm here to tell you it was anything but.
Really?
Yes. What people don't realize is Charlton Heston was first and foremost an actor. And in 1968, when they were pushing the 68 Gun Control Act, Charlton Heston was one of the few Hollywood types who stayed on the bandwagon trying to apply all the handgun provisions to rifles and shotguns. So in other words, he was trying to make the law more restrictive than it ended up being.
Hmm.
He never apologized, never recanted, never said anything that he was wrong. And when the time came to when he got elected to the board, the way he got in and of itself was underhanded and sneaky. Basically, the NRA board has 75 board members who sit on staggered 3-year terms. So each year, 25 members are elected. Also, at the annual meeting of members, there is a 76th director who was elected by the voting members at the meeting to a 1-year term.
Okay.
What ended up happening was in, if I remember right, I believe it was the winter board meeting of 1994. Charlton Heston was not on the scene at that point. And Wayne LaPierre, the current executive vice president, was involved in, well, basically was allowed a situation to occur because it was a friend of his doing it. Basically, most fundraising organizations, when they do mailings for big companies or whatever, get a percentage of the money that is generated from the fundraising attempt. Well, he had actually signed an agreement that gave the ad agency 5 cents per piece mailed out, regardless of how much was generated. We were paying them to send mail out whether it's raised any money or not, which was absolutely idiotic.
Mm-hmm.
The board members had been seeing stuff like that for quite some time, and we were to the point where we were going to throw LaPierre out. During that winter board meeting, we were up till about 4 o'clock Sunday morning, and right before we pulled a vote to throw him out of office, they called for a recess, which was mandatory under our rules, and managed to buy off 2 of our votes. When we came back, the vote to throw him out failed by 2 votes.
Wow.
We had a majority going out to resets. We lost a couple coming back. And what ended up happening then is the guy who runs the ad agency is also the manager for Charlton Heston. And he saw the writing on the wall that if he didn't do something, that his meal ticket was going to be gone, because when LaPierre was gone, he would be as well.
So I just got to clarify here. So the ad director for the NRA at the time was also the manager of Charlton Heston. You're talking about like his acting career manager?
Well, he basically handled all kinds of stuff for him. I don't know all the details. I just know that they worked together.
Gotcha. Okay.
And during the 76 director election for that spring, somebody decided to write in Charlton Heston during the, well, it's actually, they wrote him in during the ballot election for the other board members. And anyone who was on the ballot for the primary election then could run for the 76 director slot. And because of that, when, you know, because one person wrote his name on the ballot, he was then allowed to run for the 76 director at the convention. Wow. And you know that when Moses is on the ballot, he's going to win.
That's right.
And that's exactly what happened. And they immediately made him first vice president, which normally you go through the chairs. I mean, you have to be on the board for years normally, and then you get second vice president, first vice president, president.
Mm-hmm.
So they bumped him up in line, and the first speech he made was, "This will be my greatest act ever." And that's exactly what it was.
Wow.
The second day of the board, well, the first day of the board meeting itself, he was supposed to be at the board meeting, but instead he was on a plane to Cannes, France for the Cannes Film Festival.
Okay.
Before he left, he was on a drive time radio show in California where they asked him about AK-47s.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, right off the top of his head, he said they should be illegal. And that just set off a firestorm.
It would do.
And to try and cover, then he said, well, I meant the full automatic version.
Mm.
Oh, so in other words, the firearms that have never been used in a crime, you know, are the ones that you want to be illegal. And they learned real quick that they could not allow the guy to speak unless he was on a very short leash with a scripted, you know, thing, exactly told what he had to say, because he would just speak from his heart, oops, which was not what we wanted.
Right.
So, you know, that's the thing. And I happened to be on the bylaws committee at the time, and I'm proud to say that I drafted the bylaw that made it impossible for anyone else to ever do that again. Now for a 76 director to get on the ballot, they have to have at least as many write-in votes as the lowest vote getter got from the ballot. So it's highly unlikely now that anyone would be able to pull a stunt like that again. But I drafted the bylaw to make that change. And I don't know if that's the story or not, but that's the one that first comes to mind, because that's where things turned around with the organization.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be very pro Second Amendment, and it sounds funny, but after my last year, my second term, I decided I wasn't going to run for a third term, because chances are they probably would have tried to blackball me anyway, but I was tired of being on the board of the largest gun control organization in the world.
Right.
And that may sound bad to some people, but honestly, the NRA has been selling us down the river for years. If you want to be a member of a good gun organization, join Gun Owners of America. They are the only ones out there that truly are staunch Second Amendment people.
Right.
That will not back down. The NRA should go back to being a gun club like they always have been, and leave the legislative stuff to people like Gun Owners America and Larry Pratt, because they're the ones that really have the Constitution and the Second Amendment at heart.
Yeah, we need to get Larry Pratt on the program here sometime soon.
Yeah, he would be a great guest.
Fantastic.
He's a good friend.
Well, Jim, we got to go to this quick 3-minute break. I'm sure you know the drill, because you do your own fantastic show. Your DIY Health, Jim's show, is Thursday mornings, ladies and gentlemen, 2 hours right before mine. I expect all of you in the chat room to be there from now on. I would also highly recommend you guys check out his website, yourdiyhealth.com. We're going to go to this quick 3-minute break. I do have one more question about the NRA when we come back, and then maybe we'll broaden it up into some natural health type topics, talk a little bit about longevity, and even take some phone calls. Oh, we have a phone call right now. So let's go to this break. When we come back, caller, I will take your call, and we'll have a little bit more with Mr. Jim Ram. Keep it right here, guys. 3-minute break.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to AllGov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at HempUSA.org.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson.
Sunday, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And for all of you who are still hanging out in the chat room, loved having you guys along for the ride today. We're in the second segment with our guest today, the one and only Jim Ram. I highly recommend you guys check out his website, yourdiyhealth.com, and also his show here on Truth Frequency. You guys have homework now. You have to wake up extra early on Thursdays and make sure you're listening to Your DIY Health with Mr. Jim Ram. It's a 2-hour show starting at 6 a.m. in the Pacific time, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 6 a.m. Pacific time. So 2 hours before mine on Thursdays. Highly, highly recommend you guys check that show out and continue to support all of the other hosts here at Truth Frequency. Before the break, Jim, we were kind of talking a little bit about the NRA, and I just had one quick follow-up question. Somebody had asked me in the chat room if the NRA was actually a non-governmental organization that was affiliated in some way with the UN. Are you aware of any affiliation like that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when I was still on the board, my term ran, I went from 1994 to 2000. Mm-hmm. And in the late 90s, Tanya Mataxa, who was the executive vice chair or executive director of the Institute for Legislative Action, which is a legislative arm of the NRA, applied for and received NGO status. And the argument, you know, there were a lot of people on the board who were dead set against it. The argument that she made was that basically they were going to be there to kind of see what was going on. You know, when you're an NGO, you don't have any voting rights, but you're able to sit in on some of the meetings. And that gave them the ability to find out what the UN was planning from a gun control standpoint. So from that aspect, I can understand why she was trying to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to it since then, but basically that was the idea behind it, was to kind of be a spy, so to speak, and find out ahead of time or as early as possible the rumblings of the anti-gun movement inside the UN.
Right. So they were basically, the UN infiltrated the NRA so that they could keep an eye on the lobby wing, essentially.
Just the other way around. Oh, the NRA infiltrated the UN.
Oh, okay.
Although there are probably some people from the UN in the NRA as well. Mm-hmm. So it might have been a little Freudian slip there. But yeah, basically that was the idea, was to try and have as early warning as possible as to the gun control actions and movements and recommendations that the UN was going to be putting out.
Hmm. Well, that affiliation in my mind solidifies this recommendation to go check out the Gun Owners of America instead, and possibly mm-hmm. be supporting Mr. Larry Pratt. So we'll see if we can get him on the program at some point. But that's really interesting insight about the NRA, and I don't think a lot of people knew that. So I'm glad that we got that out. I'm going to jump to the phones, if that's okay with you.
And yeah, definitely.
We have a phone call, so we'll see what's going on here. We have a caller from Bakersfield, California. Hello, caller. You are on the air with the one and only Jim Ram at the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. What's your question or comment, please? Hello, caller. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Go ahead, sir.
Listen, so I have a pretty general question about what you think is the role of the Zionist regime, or just the role of Congress of Zion that started in early 90s or just before then, in the control of media and the control of all corporate the big corporate entities, and how that influences the reporting of everything that we see around us, everything that works towards preserving the truth movements and spreading out, mm-hmm. and their general role in what the problem is in the world right now.
Interesting.
And when I say Zionist, I want to be very, very clear that I'm talking about Ashkenazi, Khazarian Zionists, which have absolutely nothing to do with Judaism, have absolutely nothing to do with the term Jew.
Well, I'm glad you made that clarification, because I know that a lot of the listeners out here, and myself included, definitely believe that there is a definite separation between the Zionist agenda and real Judaism. But in terms of their absolute control over the media and things like that, you know, I'm not really sure. Jim, do you have any comments about that?
Well, I'm not a real big follower, but I do know that there's some definite influence, both in the media in general and definitely in Hollywood and in the banking system. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's the stranglehold that some people seem to apply to it. I think that there's a lot of other, you know, the key is that we have negative influences in all these areas that far outweigh the positive, regardless of this, whether it's, you know, just Illuminati, or if it's the, you know, whatever the case might be, all, you know, whether, you know, trying to pin it down to just one specific group is a difficult thing to do. I think we just need to be against the negative in general and try and root it out, you know, shine the light of day on it and get the right people in the right places to try and straighten things out.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with the caller there and saying that there is definite influence over the media, especially mm-hmm. given what we learned about the Gaza war and things like that. There's obviously a lot of control that comes down to guide our agenda, but you could say that just about anything. And I think obviously, yeah, there probably are Israeli corporations that are involved with the media, but there's also people who are involved with you know, the Council on Foreign Relations that have business agreements down in the Middle East. And there's people who are big time in the lobbies for pharmaceuticals that control what we see on television. So I think that there is probably an overarching umbrella of control. And I don't necessarily think it's specifically just the Zionists. You know what I mean? I think I agree with you that there's a lot of interested parties, a lot of different facets to this entire agenda of control that we see going on around us right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. let's see. I think we might have, it's possibly is the same caller. Hang on one second. Caller, are you back with another question, sir?
I am definitely, the same caller.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't know what went wrong there.
That's okay.
So, the point that I want to make, obviously, it's not just designers that are in control of everything, obviously, but designers are, in their own words, and what is called the most anti-Semitic document that obviously the ADL made it even illegal to possess in so many countries, is the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which clearly show their motivation from right from the start. Henry Ford exposed them. Obviously, he was called a Nazi straight after exposing what he found out. And in the point I'm trying to get to is, at the core of this of what we would call a conspiracy against humankind, you see a clear element of the Zionists, like the Rothschilds, or the people who are at the top of what we call a pyramid, always show to be Zionist and show to be Kabbalistic, satanic people of the kind. But again, they call themselves Zionists, but again, I want to point out we're not talking about just Judaism, or because they don't follow Judaism. They don't follow anything got to do with the Jewish heritage or what Jews actually stand for, which is why they're so opposed.
I completely agree. Go ahead.
Do you think they are the ones that are on the top of the pyramid?
Ooh, see, that's a deeper question, and I don't think so necessarily. I think, see, I'm of the opinion that there's a spiritual war going on here, brother, and I think that there are a lot of people who have made themselves available to be tools for whatever the negative side of the, you know, the spiritual sphere is, however you want to qualify that. I don't care what name you decide to use, but I think that there's definitively a worldly force out there that is attempting to keep us separated from our spiritual connection with the universe, and there are a lot of agencies, organizations that have followed suit with that, and I think probably the Zionists, maybe not at the top of the pyramid, but they're definitely in the pyramid. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I would say that definitely the Zionists and the Illuminati, all those groups are just individual arrows in the quiver of Satan, or however you want to put it. And, it's just one tool that he'll use whichever tool he thinks will work best at the time. And that's why I think there's so many, it's not so much putting a name on it other than just evil in and of itself, regardless of the form that it comes to us at.
That's right. Now, caller, I'm going to let you go. I do appreciate you calling in. I do think those are important topics, but you know, one of the things we want to do around here is trying to offer some solutions. So while we're all sort of afraid, let's talk to Jim a little bit about our trying to recapture some of our emotional health and our physical health and our spiritual health. And what do you think is the most important aspect of those three things, Jim?
Boy, that's a toughie. You know, they're all extremely important. And the thing that I see is, you know, they all go hand in hand. But it's very difficult to have good spiritual and emotional health if you don't have good physical health.
Mm-hmm.
But you could say the same about any other two. I mean, they're all dependent on the third, no matter which ones you know, they're all interchangeable. But I tried my best to maintain all three. And, the key thing that I do, you know, from a business standpoint is the physical, and which also goes into the emotional, because that's all dependent upon good health, and all emotional problems for the most part are results of vitamin and mineral deficiencies, especially mineral deficiencies. And many, many things can be reversed or greatly attenuated simply by being supplementing with the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that over and over again. That's why, you know, many times if someone's acting crazy, the common saying is, well, he's off his lithium. Where, you know, lithium is actually a trace mineral.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been studies done, I believe, if I remember right, it was either in Arkansas or Texas, where there were adjoining counties. One county had very, very low amounts of lithium, almost none in the water. The other one had quite a bit. And it was also interesting that correlating to criminal acts, domestic violence and things like that, the county that had very low amounts of lithium had very high amounts of crime, especially the domestic types. And the county that had the high amounts of lithium, didn't have all that.
Huh.
And that just gives you an idea how important and as, you know, Big Pharma has, basically it used to be lithium was prescribed for people with, disability or mental, situations. Now they have stopped doing lithium and gone to the synthetic drugs instead, which don't work anywhere near as well. But our supplements include lithium as one of the trace elements. So, we have seen people who have, issues with, different mental health problems that have gotten better, strictly by giving their bodies what it needed to take care of the problems, whether it's a physical thing or an emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. And it's a proven fact that we need 90 essential nutrients every single day, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids, to stay healthy. And it's impossible to get those things from the food we eat. We must supplement. I supplement every single day, not because I enjoy it, but because I enjoy the benefits it gives me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing where, 3 years ago, I didn't expect to see 2013. Now I expect to see 50 years from now.
Right.
And it makes such a big difference when your body has what it needs. It'll fix itself just about every time, as long as you've caught it before the point of no return.
Right.
And nobody really knows what that is except for God. So that's kind of where we're at. And, if we have anybody that wants to call in with specific health issues, I'd love to talk to them. Or if you have any specific questions, let's do that. I'd rather answer questions that people want to know answers to as opposed to, just rambling on.
Right. I hear you. Well, let's go ahead and keep the phone lines open here. We are open at 866-37-TRUTH. You can dial in at 866-378-7884, and I'll keep an eye on the boards. If you have any health questions or nutritional supplement questions for it, Jim Ram is probably not anybody better in the world to talk to about that. But what would you say would be, we got a phone caller and I know who it is. Hang on 1 second and we're going to love this one. Hang on 1 sec. Fran, you are on the air with, Mr. Jim Ram. What can we do for you, young lady?
Well, hello, fellas. How you doing?
Great, Fran. How are you?
Oh, not too shabby. I know you're talking about the 9 essential nutrients and, or whatever the case is with longevity. But I have a very awkward question for you,
okay.
And it may be liked, may not be liked, or whatever the case might be. The last time I saw Dr. Joel Wallach, and, video-wise or whatever the case may be, where he's doing a dialogue or whatever the case might be, and I'm thinking to myself, if the hanging tangerine or any of the other supplements he has available is really that good, then is it something with his own genetics that he appears the way he does physiologically? The last time I saw him on a video or whatever, that, dare I say, he looks like as if he might be a little bit overweight.
Are we taking pot shots at Dr. Wallach right now based on his physical appearance, Fran? I would hope that we'd all be above that, but I'll let Jim go ahead and answer that question.
Actually, he has lost weight. And that's the thing. There aren't any real recent videos per se. He weighs 162 pounds right now.
Oh, wow.
Which for his height and everything is really within what we would consider normal range. He used to have a little bit of a belly on him. There's no doubt, and he doesn't deny it. And he did, once they started fine-tuning things, he basically started losing weight. And another thing, people mentioned about is wearing glasses. And the thing is when he was a child, his glasses were the old Coke bottle type. And his prescription has gotten progressively weaker. And, his eyes have gotten better over the years. So there are, and you got to remember, the guy is 77 years old, and he hasn't been sick a day in his life since he was 9. And the other thing that's really interesting is this man does 400 free speaking engagements a year. I mean, he's on the road over 300 days out of the year, living out of a suitcase. So, you know, if he's able to do it looking the way he does, more power to him. I hope I can move half as much as he does when I'm his age.
Right.
But yeah, he has lost weight. Some of the older videos of him, he did have a little bit of a paunch, but if, you know, I saw him last, September in Indianapolis and he was, you know, he was perfectly well within the normal range for somebody his age and size. Hopefully
good
that'll
point.
Clear things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. By the way, JD, that was a good comeback from you, but no, I wouldn't view it as a pot shot. I would view it as just simply an objective, different outside point of view and so forth and so on. And I appreciate the reply of commentary to that. So that gives a whole different perspective of the situation. So I appreciate that much.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And don't feel bad about it. I mean, I'm sure you don't, but, there's a lot of people that have made that same observation. And, you know, the thought went through my mind. But when I've looked at the older videos and I look at how he is now, he is definitely trimmed down. And, like I said, they've done bone scans and, you know, muscle density and things like that. And he's actually got the body of an 18-year-old athlete, which, you know, for someone who's 77 is pretty good. So, I would hope to have his kind of physique when I'm his age.
Boy, me too, especially at 77. I read an article this week that was talking about the correlation between the width of your waist and your height. And they said that if the length around your waist was half of your height, that you are going to live to the longest term that you can possibly live to. That's the new golden rule. And I thought, man, when you said that about Dr. Wallach being 162 pounds at 77, and I think he's like 5'10", that's about perfect. I mean,
no, he's not 5. He's shorter than me. I'm 5'9". He's about 5'7", I believe.
Oh, okay.
But still, you know, he's not real tall. But he, you know, for, you know, 5'7", 162 is not a bad weight.
Not at all.
You know, he's doing very well. And I expect to see him on the speaking engagement trail for a long, long time. I don't see any signs of him slowing down. As a matter of fact, he's doing more engagements as time goes by. He used to do about 300 a year. This year he's up to 400.
Jeez.
And he's all over the world. He's flying everywhere all the time, living out of a suitcase. So, you know, to maintain that kind of a schedule is just, you know, I know people that, you know, complain when they're doing 20 and 30 speaking engagements a year. I used to do gun shows and I was doing 26 a year and it wore me out. So, you know, I can't imagine what 400 engagements like that a year would be at his age, but he handles it like a trooper. I mean, he's on a mission. And something else that a lot of people don't realize is he does not make any money from the sale of the nutritional supplements. He's pretty much divorced himself from that, as has Dr. Peter Glidden, who was on my show last week. They both, you know, have done that in order to, you know, shoot down the arguments, well, you're just doing it to sell supplements. They don't make any money from the sale of the supplements anymore. So that's something else to keep in mind. They're basically out there trying to tell the truth and help as many people regain their health as without drugs and surgery as possible.
Well, and to me, the most
good
significant
point.
Thing is that if you're going to carry that kind of workload at 77, you better be preparing for it now. You know, you got to have a plan in your mind that says, I'm going to live that long and I'm going to be that active. And you need to start taking steps to accomplish that, I think, don't you, Jim?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You definitely have to, you know, and that's what I keep trying to tell people, especially the folks that I see out working out a lot, because I was in that boat. And I know the feeling when you are I was jogging 3 or 4 miles a day every day after work. I was riding my bicycle miles and miles at night. When you do that kind of thing, physical activity releases endorphins that make you feel like you're on top of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone approaches you and tries to say, hey, you're killing yourself. If you don't supplement, you're not going to live very long. And you say, yeah, right. I feel like better than I ever have. And people just don't realize that, you know, if you run a Mercedes without oil in the crankcase and without the right kind of fuel and fluids and things, it's not going to make it anywhere near its potential.
Mm-hmm.
And the human being is exactly the same way. And we're running on fumes and don't realize it. And, if we don't supplement and give our bodies the raw materials they need to support and repair and handle the maintenance of all the stuff that goes on, we're going to break down much faster. And that's why, you know, the average professional athlete lives between 48 and 62, where a couch potato who avoids sweating at all costs lives to be 75.5.
Right.
All the people that are big, Jim Fix, the guy that wrote the complete book on running, he in his book said you don't have to worry about supplementation. If you just run 10 miles a day, you'll live to be 100. Well, he kind of fell short and died at 52 mid-stride.
Of a heart attack, right?
Of a cardiomyopathy heart attack, yeah. Which is a simple selenium deficiency.
Hmm.
And the guy that invented the power bar, one of his, I think his name was Maxwell, one of his proteges, a couple years later, same thing. 52 years old, keels over as, you know, from a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's, that happens to over 100,000 people under the age of 18 every year. And over, I think it's over 400,000 people above the age of 18 every year. And it's because we're running our tanks dry, and when we're only replenishing and rehydrating with things like water or Gatorade, which only has two nutrients in it, it doesn't have the stuff that we need. Our supplement for our sports drink, Rebound FX, has 100 nutrients in it.
Oh.
And Theo Ratliff, NBA All-Star who helped develop it, refuses to go on the court without it, and so do many, many other athletes now, because it helps them play full steam the entire game.
You know what I refuse to do without it? Have a hangover. That stuff, that Rebound FX, we took it to Vegas with us when we went, and I honestly started every single day with that, and it was the one thing that kept me going the whole, not that I'm advocating going out and going on a bender whenever you go to Vegas or whatever, but, you know, you have a good time, and you kind of take a beating while you're out there. You eat a lot of food, and you're not walking around as much because it's 1,000 degrees, so you take a beating.
It's good insurance.
Man, that stuff is, I'll tell you what, if you're out there and you're somebody who has difficulty waking up in the mornings on the weekends, that might be a product that you want to look into. I really appreciate your phone call. I'm going to let you go because there was a call or a question from the chat room that I wanted to steward across. But Fran, thank you very much for calling in today. Someone was asking about grinding up eggshells and adding it to your drinking water, allegedly as a source of calcium and also as a good cleanse for your thyroid glands. Have you heard anything about something like that?
I haven't heard it, but I can just knowing what I know from Dr. Glidden and Dr. Wallach, they would advise against it.
Okay.
One of the problems is, in order for calcium to work in your body, it has to be the right form, and ground up eggshells is not the right form. Plant derived minerals are far better, because that's what we are designed to assimilate our nutrients from.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to grinding up rocks or coral calcium or anything else. It's not, you know, you might get a little bit from it, probably at the most, and maybe 10%, where, just as an example, our calcium product, OsteoFX, is 98% absorbable. The best on the market other than that are usually only available by prescription and are only about 60% absorbable.
Mm-hmm.
But just standard metallic minerals, at best, or maybe 10%, and that's assuming you have really strong stomach acid, which most people don't anymore. And without that, you can't properly digest and absorb the stuff. So it's an interesting idea, but if you want the best, the only place you're going to get it is with Youngevity. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Youngevity person. I'm saying it because I've been looking for the last 30 years
uh-huh.
for the best stuff. And to give you an example, I'm sorry, I got some junk in my throat this morning.
That's okay.
I'm going to mute for just a second here. It's
probably a supplement for that someplace, you know?
Yeah, I think it's, I got to stop drinking my coffee with half and half in it.
That's I do the same thing, and I got the same throat clearing thing, but it doesn't taste good without
it. It's the dairy.
Yeah.
Anyway, where was I? Oh, let me think here. Brain freeze.
Well, you know, to be honest, we've only got about 30 seconds left, Jim, so I'll probably just go ahead and thank you for your time and recommend again that everybody go check out your DIYhealth.com and also your really great show on Thursday mornings right before ours here. And just as a side note, too, a lot of the folks out there know that I gave up my vehicles recently. I've been biking around a lot. And at first I was a little concerned, but the Beyond Osteo FX, brother, I swear – is doing something for my knees. And I'm not just saying that. I would limp around the house coming off the bike for a good half an hour. And now I can feel, you know, the tension. I'm definitely working my knee, but it doesn't hurt anymore beyond a couple of minutes after getting off my bike. And I really think it's that OsteoFX that's doing that. So if anybody else out there, man, I'll tell you what, that's good stuff.
Yeah, throw in the glucagel also to support bone and joint connective tissues. That's the secret sauce for anything related to bones and joints.
Jim,
and
dish your phone number out real quick so people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, I've got two actually. The best one is 855-80-YOUNG. That's 855-809-6864. And I think I'll just stick with that one for the time being. That's a toll-free number for you.
Genius.
855-80-YOUNG.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.